Hi, this is Ruth McCauley returning with the second half hour of news from the Decatur area and is our practice. We will continue with some of the recent funeral notices for deaths among the community. Beverly Ann Wolford Bergener, 79, of Newport Richey in Florida, formerly of Atwood, passed away at 8:30 a.m. on Friday, June 19th, at Trinity Hospital in Elfers, Florida. Graveside services will be held at 11 a.m. Monday, July 27th, at the Mackville Cemetery in Atwood, with Father Angel Sierra officiating. Hilligoss Schrader Funeral Home, 66 East U.S. Highway 36 in Atwood, is assisting the family with local arrangements. Memorial donations are suggested to the 40 Martyrs Catholic Church in Tuscola. Herbert P. Herb Campbell, 82, of Shelbyville, died at 3:39 p.m. on Tuesday, July 21st, in Sarah Bush Lincoln Healthcare Center in Mattoon. Funeral services will be held at 11:30 a.m. Saturday, July 25th, in Howe and Yockey Funeral Home in Shelbyville, with the Reverend Greg Breeden officiating. Visitation will be from 4 to 8 p.m. Friday and 1 hour before services on Saturday. Burial will be in Glenwood Cemetery in Shelbyville with military rites by the Shelby County Honor Guard. Memorials may be given to First Church of the Nazarene, Shriners Hospital for Children, or Saving Orphaned Animals. Mary Cyberta Benz Cordray, 96, of Decatur, went to be with the Lord on Monday, July 20th, in Heartland Manor Care Nursing Home. Services will be held at 11 a.m. Friday in Moran and Goble Funeral Home, with visitation 1 hour before that service. And the family of Mary Cordray would like to thank the staff at Heartland for keeping her healthy and active for more than 10 years. Paul R. Crutchfield, Sr., departed this life on July 18th at St. John's Hospital in Springfield. He was born on February 26, 1922, in Jacksonville, Illinois, the son of William and Elizabeth Crutchfield. Services celebrating his life will be held at noon on Saturday, July 25th, at New Salem Baptist Church, that's 352 West Wood Street, with the Reverend John T. Banks officiating. Visitation will take place 1 hour before that service. Burial is scheduled for Greenwood Cemetery. Professional services have been entrusted to the Walker Funeral Service. Robert O. Harmon, Sr., 86, passed suddenly, peacefully, on July 21st at White Oaks at Heritage Wood in South Elgin, Illinois. Graveside services will be held at 10:30 a.m. Friday, July 24th, at Macon County Memorial Park in Harristown, Illinois, with military rites conducted by the Macon County Honor Guard. Printlinger and Earl Funeral Homes is in charge of the arrangements. Carolyn Ann Jarrett Jelks, 65, departed this life on Friday, July 17th, at Decatur Memorial Hospital, with her family surrounding her with love. Services celebrating her life will be held at noon on Saturday, July 25th at Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church at 1060 West Division Street, with Pastor Al Hodges officiating. Visitation will be held from 10 a.m. until the start of the service, and professional services have been entrusted to Walker Funeral Service. Bernadine Burney R. Johnson, beloved mother, grandmother, aunt, and friend, aged 87, of Decatur, entered the gates of heaven on Tuesday, July 21st, in Heartland Manor Care. Visitation will be held on Friday, July 24th, that's tomorrow, from 10 to 11, with a Mass of Christian Burial at St. Thomas Catholic Church in Decatur. The Reverend Richard Welton is the celebrant. Burial will follow in Mount Zion Township Cemetery. Memorials may be made to St. Thomas Church and to Oasis Day Center. David C. Macko, 61, of Decatur, passed away on July 14th. Tanzius Logan Funeral Service and Care assisted the family with the arrangements. A memorial service is scheduled on Saturday, July 25th at 2 p.m. at the Winery in Decatur. In lieu of flowers, please donate to www.afsp.org. Don't stop the music. Esther Irene Mose Burrows, 92, of Decatur, passed away at 9:55 a.m. Tuesday, July 21st. In Aperion Care Nursing Home. A graveside service will be held tomorrow, Friday, July 24th at 2:30 p.m. at Point Pleasant Cemetery in Long Creek, Illinois, with the Reverend Tony Paulson officiating. Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home in Mount Zion is assisting the family with arrangements. Memorials may be made to the Alzheimer's Foundation. Sheridan Eugene Jean Blankenship, 77, of Oriana, died at 9:30 p.m. on Thursday, July 16th, at Aperion Care in Decatur. A funeral service to celebrate his life will be at 11 a.m. Friday, that's tomorrow, July 24th, at First Christian Church, 3350 North MacArthur Road in Decatur. Reverend Tim Rivas will officiate. Burial will take place at Macon County Memorial Park in Harristown. Visitation will be held 1 hour prior, also in the church. Memorial donations may be made to First Christian Church or to Argenta Oriana Fire Protection District. Tanzius Logan Funeral Service and Care is in charge of the arrangements. Thelma L. Brilly of Decatur passed away on July 16th at Aspen Creek in Sullivan, Illinois. A Mass of Christian Burial to celebrate Thelma's life will be held at 11 a.m. on Saturday, July 25th at St. Thomas Catholic Church, 2100 North Union Street in Decatur. Visitation will be from 9 to 11 a.m. with the Mass following. Father Richard Welton and Deacon Kevin Richardson will preside over the service. Burial will be in Graceland Fairlawn Cemetery and conclude with the flight home ceremony. In lieu of flowers, contributions may be made to St. Thomas Catholic Church or to the Macon County Senior Center. David R. Goodman, 78, of Albuquerque, New Mexico, formerly of Bement, died on July 1st. Services were held in Albuquerque. Memorials in his name may be made to St. John United Methodist Church in Albuquerque. Byron M. Bud Grant, 79, of Fort Myers, Florida, formerly of Sullivan and Lovington, Illinois, passed away on July 18th at the Lamplight Care Facility in Fort Myers. The family is holding private services. Memorials are suggested to the following: Alzheimer's Association, Greater Illinois Chapter, 8430 North Bryn Mawr, and that's BRYN, capital MAWR, Suite 800 in Chicago, 60631, which is www.alz.org/Illinois. Or to Hope Healthcare Services, 13821 North Cleveland Avenue, North Fort Myers, Florida, 33903, which is www.hopehcs.org. Frank Hayes, 72, passed away surrounded by his family on Friday, July 17th, at Northeast Hospital in Concord, Illinois. A private memorial service was held on Tuesday, July 21st, at the Refuge in Kannapolis, North Carolina. Michael James Jr., infant son of Michael Sr. and Kimberly Sloan, was placed in the loving arms of Jesus on Friday, July 17th, in Memorial Medical Center in Springfield. Graveside services will be held at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, July 28th, in the Garden of Angels section of Graceland Cemetery, and will conclude with the flight home ceremony. The family of McKeel James Jr. is being served by Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home, 2091 North Oakland Avenue in Decatur. Nancy Kerr, and I never know how to say that name, K-E-R-R, 82, of San Felipe, Baja Norte, Mexico, passed away on June 24th. There's no indication of any services. Brad Bird Lerick, 55, of Cerro Gordo, passed away at 3:35 a.m. Monday, July 20th, at Decatur Memorial Hospital, surrounded by his family. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, that's tomorrow, July 24th, at Brentlinger and Earl Cerro Gordo Funeral Home, with visitation this evening, Thursday, July 23rd, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the funeral home. Burial will be at Cerro Gordo Cemetery, with military rites conducted by the Cerro Gordo American Legion Post 117. Memorials may be made to the family. Dorothy Ann Lippincott, 90, of Decatur, passed away on Saturday, July 18th, at her residence. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, July 25th, at Grace United Methodist Church in Decatur, with visitation from 9 until 10 a.m. at the church. Graveside services will be held at 3 p.m. Saturday at Shearer Cemetery in New Canton, Illinois. Brentlinger and Earl Funeral Home is assisting the family with arrangements. Memorials may be made to Grace United Methodist Church, Girl Scouts of Central Illinois Camping Scholarship, or to the Decatur Municipal Band. Michael Tuna McElroy, 63, of Decatur, mayor and vice president of SCEF Distributing Company, died on Friday, July 27th. A concelebrated mass of Christian burial occurred at 11 a.m. today, that's Thursday, at Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church, and visitation was held on Wednesday in the church. Burial was scheduled to be private and at a later date. All arrangements were handled by Moran and Goble Funeral Home. Memorial donations may be made to St. Teresa High School Athletic Department. Carla T. Mettendorf, 83, of Seigel, homemaker, died on Sunday, July 19th. A mass of Christian burial was celebrated on Wednesday at St. Michael the Archangel Church in Seigel, with visitation on Tuesday. Burial was scheduled to take place at St. Michael Cemetery. Arrangements were handled by the Swingle Odell Funeral Home in Neoga. Memorial donations may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Margaret A. Schumacher, 89, also of Seigel, entered her heavenly home at 4 a.m. on Monday, July 20th, at Willowbrook Memory Care, surrounded by her family. A funeral mass will be held at 10 a.m. Oops, that's today. So it's already occurred at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Seigel, with burial in the St. Michael Cemetery. Memorials may be made to St. Michael's Catholic School. The Bauer Funeral Home in Effingham assisted the family with arrangements. Frida D. Wilderman, 52, of Kastner, passed away on Wednesday, July 15th, at Decatur Memorial Hospital, surrounded by her family. Honoring Frida's wishes, cremation services were to be provided by the Graceland Fairlawn Cremation Center, and no services were planned at this time. Memorial donations in her name may be directed to Angels Among Us Pet Rescue, Post Office Box 821, Alpharetta, Georgia 30009, info at angelsrescue.org, or to the Leukemia Foundation. We continue now with the Decatur Herald and Review editorial for the day, written by their editorial staff. Grow Decatur continues to develop. It's notable that the Grow Decatur initiative is beginning to launch into some new areas at the same time some other initiatives are successfully on their way. That reflects a movement that understands that the needs of the community will change over time, and those changes need to be addressed. Grow Decatur is looking at several new areas of focus, in addition to continuing the work of developing others and pushing some activities into a monitoring status. The new initiatives include relationships and recruiting and the next big thing in economic development. The group has also emphasized work that needs to be done to further refine the housing in the city, workforce development, poverty and low expectation initiatives. The group considers community marketing and branding, Midwest Inland Port, and water supply sufficiently launched, but will continue to monitor and provide assistance where needed. The new initiatives and increased focus on some of the others came out of a series of community meetings held in June. The meetings first identified some of the new major needs, and then meetings were held to put some focus on those efforts. It's important to remember the focus of Grow Decatur, which is not necessarily to perform the tasks necessary to accomplish goals, but to help focus the community's efforts and to provide community-based resources to tackle the area's needs. The initiatives are all interconnected. Progress in one area can assist in another, but it can also move a need up in importance. For example, the development of Midwest Inland Port, the dredging of Lake Decatur, and a new community and branding program puts more emphasis on the need to recruit business and employees to the Decatur area. That also makes the need to redevelop portions of the city, including addressing the more than 100 houses on the city's demolition list, more of a focus. The accomplishments of the community since Grow Decatur's launch 3 years ago have been notable. While many have been involved in these accomplishments, the focus and coordination brought by Grow Decatur has made a significant difference. It's important that the community and Grow Decatur have committed to expanding their initiatives, putting more emphasis on some ongoing initiatives, and moving others into a monitoring status. That shows a maturity that many such efforts in other communities fail to achieve. None of this happens in a vacuum. It takes all members of the community doing their part in order to make progress in these efforts. We turn now to a few letters to the editor. We don't have many of those these days, but this is a letter from Carl Levesque, I guess. It's L-E-V-E-S-Q-U-E, Levesque. Clean energy consultant with the American Wind Energy Association based in Washington, D.C. And it carries the headline, Wind Energy, a Boon for Electricity Consumers. Studies have shown that as more wind power is incorporated into our electrical mix, consumers benefit. The wind industry continues to want to invest in new wind power projects. But to do so, we need more power lines to carry electricity to larger markets, like Illinois. A recent independent analysis found the Grain Belt Express power line will lower wholesale electricity prices by $750 million in Illinois during its first 5 years of operation by enabling the delivery of low-cost wind power. The line will allow the development of 4,000 megawatts of wind power, which would be delivered from wind-rich western Kansas to load centers in Illinois and neighboring states. The savings would come as wind energy displaces energy from more expensive power plants. To see how new transmission lines enable greater use of affordable wind energy, look no further than Texas. In 2005, the Texas legislature directed its Public Utility Commission to identify areas best suited for wind generation development and ultimately approved policy enabling $5 billion in new transmission to access those areas. To see how new transmission lines, wind energy, now makes up 9% of Texas's in-state electricity production, and the average residential customer is projected to save $160 to $355 annually on their electric bill. Additional transmission lines to bring wind energy to market can help us meet the scenarios outlined by the U.S. Department of Energy's Wind Vision Report, which shows the U.S. could derive 20% of its electricity from wind by 2030 and 35% by 2050. That report finds consumers will see direct savings of such levels if such levels are achieved, with annual consumer savings reaching $14 billion a year by 2050. We encourage people to consider how wind energy can positively impact electricity rates and create a cleaner energy economy to benefit Illinois consumers for years to come. Again, that was a letter to the editor signed by Carl Levescu, clean energy consultant to the American Wind Energy Association in Washington, D.C. Our next letter to the editor is signed by David M. Coventry of Decatur. General Assembly only wants to increase taxes. Why does this newspaper not have headlines saying state legislators want $3.5 billion tax increase per year? What is in the fine print of the unbalanced budget passed by the General Assembly? Each article I have read is about how the General Assembly is being hurt by the rich governor who has not signed off. For 3 years, we had to pay a 67% income tax increase, and those billions were spent over and above what was paid in by the working class taxpayers. This $3.5 billion shortfall comes as only $274 per man, woman, and who lives in Illinois per year in revenue, just to break even per year. Your reporters and editors should take this personally, for you are the ones who are going to help pay for the spending project. Again, a letter to the editor signed by David M. Coventry of Decatur. We probably don't have time for me to read the whole thing, but there's some wonderful tips from Mary Hunt, who writes the column. Oh shoot, what is it? It doesn't have the name at the top. Everyday Cheapskate. This one focuses on five moves to simplify your spending. I'm going to summarize it real quick. Use cash. Once it's gone, it's gone. Organize with envelopes. Get a stack of envelopes and label one for each of the ways you'll be spending your cash. Place the appropriate amount of cash in each envelope. When you're done, you're done. You've got a place to put receipts. You know where you're going. Put the kids on allowance. That's number three. Instead of just drip, drip, dripping money out for everything they ask for, give them an allowance, and there you go. Buy store cards when you know you're going to be spending a certain amount on a regular basis, say at a grocery store. Buy a $400 gift card from your supermarket if that's what you think you'll spend a month on groceries. There's no fees attached to it. You can't borrow money from it, and so it's guaranteed to help you stay on budget. And then finally, check anything you charge. Whenever you use a credit or debit card, take 30 seconds to record that transaction the same way you would record the checks you write. And if you can, enter it in red ink. Later, when your bank statement or Visa bill arrives, you'll be able to quickly double check the red entries. At first glance, she says, these tactics may appear to be too simple to be effective, but just try them. You'll be pleasantly surprised. Okay, we're out of time for news from the Decatur area for Thursday, July 23rd. This has been Ruth McCauley reading with you. Always a pleasure on my end. I hope on yours as well. Until we are together again, you all take care.